This is the Music to My Ears podcast. I hope you enjoy it. I hope you share it with your friends. I hope you subscribe for more episodes, listen to the previous ones, and I hope you're here for the next one. I really love that you're listening to this. Do enjoy this. I feel like starting this off with the clearing voice thing, like, because I don't feel like my voice is where it has been, because I haven't recorded in a while. So I am home. Like, I have not been home for the past few months. I am not going to say the number of months, lest you people start judging me, but I have not gone home for a long time. So I am home. And first thing I did was just to go and get the lowdown from my grandmother. Now, my grandmother is very, very good with stories. And one of the stories she gave me, I am laughing at. Nikikumbuka, I still laugh. She told me one time, there's a grandfather of mine, like a cousin to my grandfather. So one time he came home in the evening with his teeth wobbly. Like, he just got off the motorbike with his teeth wobbly. And then my grandmother was like, his wife came to complain to my shosh. The wife was like, I don't know what happened to that man. That man just came home with his teeth wobbly. I don't know if half of the teeth are out. So this guy has resorted to wearing masks. So everywhere he goes, he's with a mask. So we know why he's wearing a mask, but you also don't want to sound rude by laughing because he's also old. But it's the funniest thing. However, that is not why I'm here. I am not here to talk about old men and the lack of teeth. I have been in a happy place, if you guys can tell, like the way I'm speaking. It's partly being home, and it's partly intentionality, because I was also off every social media app for some time. Except Twitter. I don't know how Twitter ropes you in, or X or whatever. But I was off like most of the apps for some time intentionally. Because I remember when I was coming from school, one of the things I do most is streak. So I was worried, and it sounds silly right now, I was worried that, yo, if I like nikichoma easy streaks, people are just going to be angry. And the people I only streak with, the people we do not have any connection. So we only streak. So I was like, if this goes, maybe this connection also goes. And then you get home and then you get peace for 2 hours. You're like, man, fuck it. Go. Yeah, if this connection cannot be sustained past the streaks, then bye-bye. Before I continue ranting, a friend of mine is hosting a singing experience at Westies Lounge. That will be on 29th of October. So if you listen to the pod and you're interested in getting tickets for this event, it's going to be hyped. I'm going to be in the house. So if you want to meet me, if you and me want to have a date, we are finally going to have that date. So Westies Lounge from 2 to 6 on 29th of October. That will be on a Sunday. So you have no excuse. You're going to be free. I'm sure. Yes, I know. I know your schedule. You're going to be free. So check the description box and there's going to be a link to Hustle Sasa so that you can get your tickets. Yeah, now that that is out of the way, let us get into the meat of the issue. And I have been reading a book by James Baldwin. I really love James Baldwin. James Baldwin was an American writer. Me and him share a birthday. He was queer. What else? Revolutionary in writing. Him, Maya Angelou, like the bigs, like the big back then. So at the moment, I'm reading Gotelli to the Mountain by James Baldwin. And it has an aspect of religion. Like, okay, most of the book is about religion because it's about this, the main antagonist. I don't know whether it's antagonist or protagonist. I think antagonist too. The main antagonist is this guy called Gabriel. Now, Gabriel is a sinner. Like, Gabriel is a sinner pro max. Like, he goes through the whole motions of sleeping around, drinking, the whole shebang. Like, you know how Christians are usually with, you are the worst of the worst. And then he finds Jesus, and then he finds salvation, and then marries. And then when he marries, he has an affair, and then he has a son outside wedlock. And then that chains him because he had built this big standard of religion for himself as a preacher, as a reverend, everything. So when he has this son, the chick who gets pregnant by him, she's called, I think, Esther. Esther goes to a different town so as to avoid him shame. I'm like, she's a very strong person. Anyway, she moves to another town, has this baby, and then she dies, and then her parents go and get the baby. The baby and the reverend exist in the same town for close to 16 years. This nigga never acknowledges his baby. And that is not the, like the worst of it, he passes this son every single day and he does not say a thing about it until his wife confronts him when the son dies in a bar brawl. Like the son is like knifed, I think, in a different city. That, and there's this whole aspect of religion and being punished. Like, this preacher believes that God is punishing him, like the death of his son is punishment for him having an affair. And I don't know why that shame is inbuilt into religion. And I feel like that is something that needs to be done away with. If we're going to have, like, if religion is going to be fair, then we have to do away with the shame that has been built into religion. Because look at this person, like, your son just died. Like, I don't care. This son had nothing to do with the affair that you have. This kid is on this earth. This kid did not ask for any of this nonsense. So you did not play a part in their life. You decided to be a bad father, and now we blame religion for all that. So religion as it is structured, now I'm saying to sound like those political people, but I think religion as it is currently structured does not favor a lot of us. And we do not want to see it. We do not want to speak about it. But religion as it is structured at the moment needs to be revisited. The whole module of, oh, you're going to get punished. I remember like the fears I've had in my life. I remember I spoke about it on this podcast. There was a time me and this friend were arguing over abortion. And then the main point was, oh, if you abort, you're killing a life and all that. And then me, I was arguing from the point of autonomy, like someone needs to be able to, you know, do whatever they want with their body. And that, I know that sounds a bit ish-ish, but like that is it. I keep asking myself, like, I believe God is better than what human beings, you know, put him out to be, like, oh, this vengeful creature. I believe like God is better than that, because if he was really vengeful, some of us would get like mshara izetu sahio hio. You know, he would not wait for 20-100 years for us to go to hell. I believe like also we are like given this body so that we have some sort of autonomy over them. So when we are arguing with this person, they were like, oh, the Bible says this and that about life. And then I'm like, I believe people should be able to abort because sometimes they do not want to have these children. And how many children come into this earth and they do not have like fathers or mothers who look after them well? Hey, even the story we are just from speaking about is a father who never looks at the child. So at that point, I was conflicted. I was like, am I also going to hell because I'm arguing for something that might be a sin? And what is sin? Because that is also something I keep questioning. I'm like, yo, what really is sin? Yeah, before I start feeling or sounding preachy, let me get into the things I'm supposed to talk about. One of the titles I had, the major title I had for today's episode was truth. And I've realized, like, you know how people have versions of truth? Like, whatever can be truth for you can look different for me. Now, one of the things I think I'm confronting at the moment is beauty and how beauty also is structured. You know, at this point, if you're still here and you're listening, the main point you should be getting from this is question every single thing. Question who made the module of what was beautiful. Question who made the structures for religion and how it has been like carried through the years. So one of the things I've been confronting is beauty and how beauty should be more inclusive. We have industries like have been built on the idea that to be more beautiful, you have to be this one thing, like use this product, wear this particular cloth. Like if you are dressed in this, then you're going to be beautiful or you're going to be more attractive. I think attraction is the word. And I find it a bit deceptive that we tell people that if you're more beautiful when you have something added on top of who you are. Well, I think beauty, the whole idea was beauty was me appearing as I am, because I am very different from the next person unless I have a twin. So in all things constant, the only way to compare me to anything else in form of beauty is comparing me to myself. So you can only compare me to a look I have had. Like if you saw me yesterday and I was dressed in something that you liked, and then today you're like, yo, this is different. Like, you look a little bit. And even that it's questionable because I'm also allowed to, you know, sometimes dress down. But beauty should be more inclusive. I think there's a quote by Adele Onyango that says, Question any industry that is going to sell you only one idea of beauty. And I think I agree with that, because at this point, I am realizing there are so many versions of beauty. Like, you are, even handsomeness, why am I not being inclusive? But even being handsome, whatever it is termed as quote-unquote like ideal for looking good, should vary from person to person. You're a beautiful person, you're a handsome person in your own right. And I don't think that takes away from me. There are people we look at, we're like, yo, that is drop dead gorgeous. But it does not take away from me, because, I mean, Idris Elba is always going to be Idris Elba, you know, who Henry Cavill is only always going to be Henry Cavill. You know, Naomi Campbell is always going to be Naomi. So in all essence, we are not made to be compared. We were made to exist. So as human beings, there's no way to compare my beauty to another person, because I'm beautiful in my own right. And the other quote I wrote was, we demand perfection from things or features that were just meant to be. Look at my face. At this moment, hey, it's just there. But someone is going to point out a pimple, or someone is going to point out a scar, and then I'm going to feel insecure over something that should not need to be perfect. It needs to be a face. At the end of the day, monkeys, sorry for using that word, monkeys, birds do not care about, oh, I have a scar here. I do not speak to them. But I want to think of it from the point of, we demand perfection from things that are not meant to be perfect. We're just meant to exist, you know, and we're meant to appreciate the other person. And it's also funny how we constantly notice like these small things, and we never really appreciate people. Like, I did see, this is something I saw. I saw someone's TikTok, and then I first picked out the things that were wrong. And then my brain was like, no, go back. And then I was like, yo, you really look pretty. And I was like, wait, why did I only pick out the wrong things at first? Because sometimes that is how our brains are wired. Like, we're wired to first criticize and then go back and be like, not, some of us never even go back, but we are wired to criticize. So I am doing the active thing of going back and being like, and not even going back, but just appreciating people from the word go. Like, everyone looks good, looks beautiful in their own way. The people do not try. Some of you try hard. You still look beautiful. You still look pretty. Chimamanda says something about appreciating people loudly. Like, when you see something in someone that you like, please tell them so that you make their day, so that they walk around knowing they have these things like with them. Give people their flowers. The other thing was, two truths can coexist. Now, this is a lesson I think that has been going and coming back, because this is something I think I've spoken about in the pod. There are people I tend to not speak to, or I'll cut them off for some time because they do certain things that I'm like, I find this tasty, or I find this a bit messy. And sometimes I forget, like, in every person, there's a balance of good and bad. Like, that is how human beings are made. There's a yin to your yang and everything. You know how the Japanese believe in yin and yang. So every person has like a balance of good and evil. So you're not always going to be only bad. That does not mean I have to take your nonsense when you're giving it. It just means I'm going to extend enough grace to see you as a human being and not dehumanize you because one time you said something that I did not agree with. And yeah, sometimes you might say a lot and I might create a distance between me and you, but you're not the worst person for saying it. I just do not agree with you, but you're still a person. So sometimes we need to extend more compassion towards others. You know, sometimes ask yourself, if I said this, would I forgive myself for it? Then why are you not forgiving the other person? I am not saying stay in situations where people have disrespected you, or people do not validate your existence, or situations where people are going to be messy every single time. I'm just saying sometimes you question in your own head, like in your muhodu, you sometimes sit there and ask yourself, like, yo, this person did this thing. If I was in this space, would I forgive them? Have they asked for forgiveness? Like, or even if they have not asked you for forgiveness, sometimes just put yourself in their shoes, be like, yo, it's not that much of a deal. You know, I'm not going to speak to them. That is a choice I have made, but I still do not think that they're the worst people to exist. The third thing is privilege and checking people. This I learned from Laverne Cox. I don't know if you guys know Laverne Cox. She was in Orange is the New Black. And one of the things she spoke about, I listened to her podcast. So one of the things she spoke about was privilege. It was like, how do we address some of the things we address? Like, look at racism. And most people swear up and down they're not racist. Like, you'll find so many people being like, yeah, I'm not racist. Let's, like, come closer home. Look at misogyny. And a lot of people will swear up and down, yo, I'm not misogynistic. But you're going to say something that is misogynistic. And a lot of people, I think, do not really know when they're being misogynistic. So to them, it's just a word. You know, if sometimes they say things and then you're like, yo, did you really mean that? They're like, ah, me, I was just saying it for the boys. And how we address that affects the tone of the conversation. If someone says something that you find misogynistic and then you jump on them, you're like, yo, you're the worst person, you're misogynistic, you did that on purpose. It does not leave room for checking the other person. It does not leave room for the other person to question themselves, to ask themselves questions. Yo, but this person said this is misogynistic. Why did they say that? And why did I feel very comfortable like saying this? So sometimes we need to address things in a way that it does not become about us. It becomes about the general well, good, like, of society. You know, if someone is being racist, if someone is being homophobic, if someone is being misogynistic, whatever, transphobic, whatever, you get to call them to the other side without you. Like, remove the you from the conversation. Remove your anger from it, because this is a wider thing. And then question, like, tell them, this is why, this and this and this is why I find this troubling. And then they'll be like, yo, that is true. Some people do not want to learn. And sometimes I'm just like, people who are ignorant just need to be ignorant. They just do not, some people do not really, are not worth our time. The next thing is check-in. The check-in is for me and how I'm doing. So check-in is myself. Check-in is about my voice. So for the longest time, I have been insecure about my voice. With the podcast, no, because I've learned to appreciate how my voice works for me podcast-wise. But when I'm speaking in a crowd or whenever I get the mic, I get a bit jittery because I'm just like, yo, it's not where it's supposed to be. And I am very, very insecure about it. And right now, you know, I've been announcing my friend's event and she requires me to speak at a point during her event. And I remember even I went to Adele's event and I had to ask a question. And the whole time I was paralyzed because I was just like, it usually sounds, I don't know, high strung. I don't know. But I usually am a bit insecure about my voice. I don't think a bit. It's a lot. It's how this time when I came home, after this friend asked me to do this thing, I had to sit in it for some time. Why am I saying sit in it? But I voice came in my head and then I had to learn to be like, yo, but you're going to have to love your voice. Do you understand? Like, I am not going to have any other voice, like with everything else. I am carrying this through life. So I have to find self, I have to find love for it. That is tied with something someone told me. I don't know if Mutavo Daniel is ever going to listen to this. Mutavo told me something. He had listened to a previous episode and then was like, I love your pod. And then at that point I was like, I am tired of, you know, releasing new episodes. And then he was like, be kinder to yourself. So that is a mantra I think I'm using. Like every single time I feel myself like being a bit cruel to myself, I remind myself, be kinder to yourself. Yo, be kinder to yourself. If I say something nasty that I regret, if I am arguing or I just say something nasty, I pull myself back and then I'm like, yo, be kinder to yourself, like be kinder to yourself. So I've been doing that actively. So in the space of that, I have been insecure and I realized my voice is a little bit, you know, a little bit high at certain points, like especially if I shout, like if I'm speaking, you might not tell, but if I shout, I do. And one time I shouted like we had gone for match and the opponents were sitting on the other side of just close to us. And, some of the opponents were in the field and then I shouted for them to get out of the field. And someone said something that said with me, like someone was like, oh, if you do not want to have a base, why, you know, they were like, why don't you just get off your beard if you cannot have a base? Because I've told you, sometimes my voice becomes very high, especially when I'm shouting. And me and this guy got into a confrontation and then he said some nasty things about me. And I've spoken about this on Adele Onyango's podcast. And it was something I was insecure about at that moment. And it was like, he said something about, oh, me being very feminine and he really would not fight someone who is that feminine. Or his exact words were, I don't have words to fight. I don't have things to fight with a woman. And then in that instance, I felt like fighting back. Like I shouted a few words, like I spoke about his mama and then he became more nasty. You know, That is usually what you go for when someone has attacked you. And but I went back and I did my introspection, and then I was like, I should never have dragged his mama into it because it had nothing to do with nothing. And I also realized that I was part of the problem, because half of the things he was saying in the name of banter are things I've said to someone else, like not in the same way, because there was like, I just know that things I've said, like small things in the name of supporting my team. So when they were being pushed at me, I was like, yo, this is hurtful. But I'm going to get over it because I'm secure in myself. And I was like, that is the first time I asked myself, like, what if another person never feels secure after I have said something on the pitch? And then I was like, it's coming a bit late because I don't think I'm going for any other matches anytime soon. But I was like, I hope no one ever feels this shit about something I have said, you know, in the name of supporting my team, because I have said things. Yo, I have said things. And that is why it was easy to swallow, because I was just like, it's fair. I have said worse things to people on that field. I'm not that nasty. I'm just saying I have also said things. So I looked at it. I was like, yeah, partly you people can, you know, he can get away with it. And I do not care, you know, but I did care in that moment. I did care and I felt hurt. But one of the things I was reminded was I have been getting this flack all of my life. Like the whole nonsense of, oh, you're so effeminate. All that nonsense, I've gotten it all of my life. So it was not surprising. So, you know, have at it, have your time, have your fun. It's your round. Like, this is your turn. People have been doing it for all of my life. And then the other thing was, so, you know, it's like you are insulting this one part that is so beautiful, like this one part that I appreciate so much, because also the friends I have, half of the access I have is because of who I am, and who I am is also tied to that feminine side of myself. So I choose to celebrate every single part of me. I do not care what other people think about it, and I think that ties down to the truths that we spoke about. So I am learning to appreciate. I think in that moment that helped me with that, and hey, I'm remembering things. And in that instant, I think it hit me again, because I have encountered this before. It's not new. And it hit me at that point. I was like, yo, this is happening again. And then it was like, in my head, I was like, it is happening again because there are things you need to continue working on yourself. Like, don't ever get to a point where someone feels comfortable enough to insult you and you're like, I am the problem. No, it means there is something you have not worked past. Like, if someone says something and it's triggering, it means that more things I need to work on. So I took it just as a learning curve. My check-in, the last thing was, yes, what is not working for one person might be working for another person. This was a funny lesson. This was hella funny, because there's a relationship. I don't want to call it a relationship. It was a situationship. Now, there was this situationship I had been struggling with for the longest time. Like, it's been here and there. And this year, finally, like, we are completely done. I am very sure at this point I am 100% positive we're done. So one of the things that was coming up, and this is again when I'm home, like sometimes it's good to sit in the quiet so that you get to hear your own voice. Like, so one of the things that came to my head was, what is not working for one person is working for another person. Ask me why. Me and this other person, I waited for the longest time for me and them to be on the same page. Like, I wanted them to also be like, oh, this is not working. You know, the relationship is not working. Can we just end this? And it's hitting me in this instance that we could never be on the same page. Like, they were getting something different from this relationship, and I was getting something different from this relationship. Like, whatever this was giving me is not what it was giving them. So in me complaining about things not working out, maybe to them, they were working out. You know, the whole time I was just like, why are you not seeing it? Maybe it was working out for them. This little that we were getting from it was okay with them because they did not want much. So sometimes when you feel like a situation is not working out, please get out. It's not for the other person, it is for you. And I think that is a lesson I have learned. What is not working for one person might be working for the other person. The other person might be enjoying that which you think is not working. Onto the music, I feel like there should be a segue. So, tan-taran, whatever that is, I have just done. Now, for the music, Brandy Maina has a new EP out. This EP, like, came out 2 weeks ago, and I absolutely love this EP. One of the favorite songs of the EP is Power Cable featuring Okello Max. This song is a vibe. You people, please listen to this song. You know, if you do not listen to the whole extended play, which is titled Chaos Power. Please listen to the song Power Cable featuring Okello Max. Zine Manase finally dropped the album. Like, the album we've all been waiting for. I don't know if you guys have been waiting, but I have been waiting for a Zine Manase album for the longest time. And it's here. The album is titled Love and Hate. My best song off this album is called Late Night Checkup. I'm just recommending the things I love at this point. I don't want to go into which song is what. But please listen to the whole of Love and Hate. Listen to the whole Chaos Power album. I'll be recommending more songs. That is all the time I had for this particular week. I love you so much. I am sending all the love your way. Sending love and light your way. I am not one of those love and light people. Maybe I am. Who cares at this point? But yeah, I hope you have an amazing week. And if you need to get back to me, just I'm going to put a link to the IG page so that you can get to me and share your thoughts, comments, whatever you liked about it. Criticism you can keep for a while until I think I'm ready to check it. But I hope you have a nice time.